Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response to midday for the 17th of Adar. Today we're going to get here from Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igrot Moshe Orech Chaim Dalad, the fourth volume of Orech Chaim. The fourth time he comes to Orech Chaim issues in Igrot Moshe. The 79th response of Ayin Tet. It's from the 17th of Adar of Tafshin Lamed Tet of 1979. Rav Moshe is responding to somebody who just finished his medical school training. I think he's entering residency, and he's curious about Shabbos issues in terms of his residency. So he opens up with best wishes, and it's an interesting set of best wishes because he wishes him that he will be a shlucha d'rachmana. And I think it's an interesting phrasing that we have to remember, that we think of doctors as being agents of Hashem, and there's this, it reminds us of the balance we have between believing in nature and knowing that Hashem runs things. So however that balance works, but it's a reminder that fundamentally we see the process of medicine and the experience of medicine as being our right to be involved in what Hashem really fundamentally runs. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, and he's going to write a little bit more than what he was asked about, because he thinks it's a very important set of principles. And I have to say, having watched doctors Orthodox doctors function in the world, I'm not sure that all these doctors know some of Rav Moshe Feinstein's thoughts about how doctors are supposed to handle the balance between the importance of their jobs and the halos of Shabbat. So Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that the Rambam in the second chapter of Hilchot Shabbat writes, "Dichuyahi Shabbat Eitzel Sakanat Nefashot," that Shabbat is dichuya in terms of saving lives. Now, dechuya hutra is a question halacha in general, that when we say you're allowed to ignore or set aside some halachic idea or some halachic principle for some other value, there are two ways we can do it. One way is dechuya. So dechuya means that it's still out there and it's still a problem, it's still an issue, just we have something else pushing it aside. So it's sort of dechuya, the word means pushed. So it's pushed aside. Whereas hutra means that for this purpose and for this issue, it's as if it's not there. The Torah said you just don't have to pay attention to it because it's hutra. The Torah allowed, although ordinarily the Torah prohibits X, in this case it allowed X. It's hutra. So the Rambam writes that dechuya is Shabbat. Shabbat is dechuya in terms of Saganah Nefashot. And the Kesef Mishnah points out that when he says it's dechuya and not hutra, that's what dechuya means. It's dechuya but not hutra. It's not completely allowed. It's that we're allowed to push it aside. Now the problem is, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, it's a little strange. Kesef Mishnah is still saying, I'm sorry. It's a little bit strange because it's not quite true that we think of Shabbat as being only slightly pushed aside in terms of when an opportunity to save lives comes up, because in those situations, we're not supposed to sit there thinking, what's the easiest way that I can, what's the least stringent way, what's the least violative way I can think of to save this life? The truth is, we're kind of leery of asking those kinds of questions because we're worried that people will delay too much. That's why, says the Kesef Mishnah, we have a halacha that if you have an opportunity to save lives by having non-Jews do it, or Jews do it to save Jewish lives, we prefer that we have Jews do it. It's mutar. And the Rambam writes that even if there's a nachri, you should do it yourself, and you shouldn't use a nachri, you shouldn't use a non-Jew, you shouldn't use a child. And the Kesef Mishnah explains that we're worried that if we, you know, try to make sure to do it by having a child do it or a non-Jew do it, then people will say, oh, it's not really perfectly permitted. We're worried that people will say it was bikoshi. It was with difficulty they allowed it. Yes, we want to save lives, but we're really uncomfortable with it because we really prefer not to have Shabbat be violated, and therefore we do it in the minimal, in the least way possible. And the worry is that people will say that, and then they'll be leery to do it themselves, and they'll hesitate, they'll pause, they'll think, and in all of that, God forbid, lives will be lost. So And that's what people say. Great rabbis don't want to do it. They don't want to violate their Shabbos, right? And we're also worried, even if people won't get that impressed. And another worry that Kesef points out is, we're also not sure that even if non-Jews agree with us, saving lives is important, and especially if we did it with minors, with ketanim, even if we felt comfortable saying that they would try to do it, they won't do it with as much care and alacrity. They won't do it as quickly. They won't do it as with as much awareness of the importance and the value that we place on Jewish lives. And therefore, we think that you should have, you know, the whoever's there, whatever adult is there, if it's a rabbi, if it's a, whatever, whoever can do it in the best way possible should do it, not think twice about it, right? So if that's true, then it's odd, or it's not odd, it's unclear where it comes up, this idea that it's only dechuya and not tutra. After all, if you said to me, dechuya means you try to avoid doing it now, the truth is, the Russia didn't get into this, the truth is, if you have two ways of saving somebody's life on Shabbos, and they're completely equal, and they're not going to do any, make any difference between the ways you do it, then if you do it in a non-Shabbos violating way, that's better than what you're supposed to try to. That's part of what Tchuyah means. But the Rambam, but the Rav Moshe Feinstein is just pointing out that in a lot of ways, this Tchuyah Hutra distinction that the Rambam makes sure to make doesn't seem to have practical ramifications. So Rav Moshe Feinstein suggests that that may be true once you already have an ill person in front of us. Once there's somebody in front of us who needs to have their lives saved, so then this Tchuyah Hutra distinction comes up relatively rarely, right? It won't come up in terms of who we have to it, because we won't say, no, let's prefer a non-Jew because we want it to violate Shabbat. We don't say that because we want people to understand that saving lives is very important. Saving Jewish lives in our context is very important, and we don't want them to lose sight of that. But says Rav Moshe Feinstein, I think there might be a distinction, there might be a chiluk le'inyan ha-rofe, in terms of the doctor before this situation arises. The doctors, if they can arrange before the situation comes up not to have to violate Shabbat, and that won't affect anybody's care, Rav Moshe Feinstein is going to say he thinks that's a requirement. So, for example, if this doctor is in a place where there are other doctors around, so the definition of other doctors around is not quite so clear, but he means the other people can cover it, then he shouldn't make himself easily available on Shabbat. He should close his office, right? You don't have to have office hours on Shabbat. And then he should have an unlisted phone number, meaning he shouldn't be in the yellow page such that a random person might call him up and say, listen, doc, I've never been your patient before, but I have this life-threatening situation. Then he'll be forced, he'll be required to go and violate Shabbat to save that person. We'll get to saving non-Jews in a second, but that's also going to be true for non-Jews. So he should have an unlisted number such that that kind of an accidental encountering of a need to save lives on Shabbat should not come up. Now, he's been very careful to say it's only if there are other doctors around, meaning as long as that theoretical patient can look up in the yellow page or wherever and find other doctors to take care of him, so then this Jewish observant doctor need not be available on Shabbat. And the only people then who would be able to find him on Shabbat are his existing patients. Right, and Rosenfeld says that it's even true if there are going to be, let's say you'll say, well, there may be Jews out there who would find him, and if Jews would find him, he's allowed to save on Shabbat for sure, and what's the big deal? So the answer is Rosenfeld says no, because he shouldn't put himself in a situation where he's going to have to violate Shabbat to save lives if it's not necessary to do. That's his understanding of one of the ramifications of Dichuya, right? One of the ramifications of Dichuya is that we should try to avoid ahead of time Shabbat violation if we can. Now, I, in these tapes, try very hard only to bring up, you know, only to reflect the tshuvot. I have a temptation here to point out other situations of this, but it's something to think about, and I will resist the temptation, because we'll stick with what Rosh Feinstein actually says, but this idea that Shabbat is duchuya, that means that ahead of time we should try to think if there are ways we can avoid Shabbat violation that will not affect anybody's lives, that we should do. I think that's a broad idea that people don't pay as much attention to as maybe they could or should. So Rosh Feinstein says, and also on Shabbat, let him not have a telephone with him. Now, that's a little more difficult to say, because as long as he has patients of his own, he might need that phone or page or whatever it is for those patients. So I'm not sure how you can handle that. But his basic idea is that the doctor should do everything he could, that the only situations that arise for him on Shabbat are those cases that are his patients. Since there are other patients out there, then he has no obligation, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, other than those who come to him. Anybody who comes to him, you're not allowed to say, Rav Moshe seems to say, you're not allowed to say, well, go to this other doctor who's out there, because there's a principle in the Gemara, D'lo mikol adam zoche lehei rafe. People don't always merit, people don't always manage to get healed from every single doctor. See, this is that we don't think of medicine as being an exact science, and we think of it as having Hashem's involvement mixed in, and that would mean then that the relationship between doctor and patient is not purely technical. It's not like I show up and I happen to be Dr. X, but if I went to Dr. Y, I'd have the exact same thing happen. And the tradition that Rav Moshe Feinstein is invoking is that you're not always you don't always merit. There's some kind of an interplay between the patient and the doctor that affects the healing process. And that would mean then that if somebody contacts a Jewish doctor on Shabbat for whatever reason, they would have to respond because now, and if it's a life-threatening situation, because they've now been put into the life-threatening situation and they have to help him out. So, but he has to do his best to do it that won't happen since there are other people out there. Now, that's an interesting sort of contrast between the two. For all that, Rav Moshe Feinstein just said that if the person does approach him, you have to say it's not clear that that somebody will always get healing from somebody else. It's still true that Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks he can avoid being put into the situation. It doesn't say, well, you know, if this is the only doctor this person will merit being saved from, then it would seem to mean that he has to, you know, that he has to be available for anybody just in case he's the guy. So I think he sort of is assuming, I think, he doesn't say it clearly, I think he's sort of assuming that once a relationship is forged, that's when we have to say, you never know what's going to happen. But if you can avoid having the relationship forged whatsoever, then Hashem can take care of this person in some other way, in some other situation. And that's true. He says, by the way, if these potential patients are Jews, even if these potential patients are Jews, and therefore you'd say to yourself, well, he's got to be around for all possible Jews because maybe he'll save Jewish lives. The answer is, Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks the answer is no, he doesn't. That if there are other doctors out there who are qualified, who are relatively equally qualified, he doesn't have to do it. But if he's the only doctor in the city, then, you know, he's got to be available. He's got to be in a place where if there's a life-threatening situation, they can come to him. So that sort of becomes a question for doctors to think about. If they think about call on Shabbat and things like that, where they are, where they live, and what kinds of doctors are out there or not out there, that's an element of it, right? If he's the only, let's say you're the world-class expert, and in your town, there's nobody within, you know, five ranks of you, whatever that would mean. So there's really a gap between the care you seem to provide and the care other people seem to provide. There, it seems to me that Ramosha would have, there would be an argument to say that Ramosha would think that maybe this person does have to be available on Shabbat, since it would be somewhat like being the only doctor around. Now, it could be that Rav Moshe Feinstein would say, no, there's the minimum, as long as people reach the minimum. Once beyond the minimum, we don't go with gradations. Could be. It's unclear. But if he's in a place that's majority non-Jewish, and there are only a few Jews who live there, and the Jews all know him, so according in terms of the non-Jews, Rav Moshe Feinstein says he can say that by the laws of the state, nobody has to work more than 6 days a week. You get a day off a week. Let him make his day off a week his Shabbos day. Now, that's going to come up in residency, too, which we're going to get to. The Rav Moshe Feinstein is fundamentally going to say you should do everything you can to have what's called a Shomer Shabbos residency. Shomer Shabbos residency would be that you keep Shabbat, and you're off on Shabbat completely, and that generally would mean that you're going to work a lot of Sundays. And here, too, if the rules are that he has to work 6 days a week because he's, you know, in a town and there's no other doctor, and this, he's going to get a day off. Let him make that day off Shabbat, or in another way that the people don't find him, right? That's his fundamental answer, and that's all based on the idea that Shabbat is hudechuya and not hutra. Now, thinking about that, I will notice that there are plenty of doctors that I know who you'd say to them that, and they would say, well, I can't do that. I have a wife. I have a family. I'm going to be on every single Sunday. It's not fair. It's not this. It's not that. And it's a claim, and it's a problem. It's an issue. But that's the way Rav Moshe seems to think of it, and it gets into very important Shabbos questions. And so what does it mean when we do or don't arrange our lives this way in terms of keeping Shabbat? Meaning, you know, and so it gets to be very, I think it gets to be a very complicated question. I think there are people who say, well, in my field of medicine that I want to go into, there is no way to do that in residency, and there is no way. So we'll get to some of the ways that Rav Moshe Feinstein suggests. But let's assume for a second that the people are right, that there is no way. So then you can also question that Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't get into, but they become very interesting to me and complex questions of, so then how do I choose a medical specialty, right? Let's say I think about residencies, and I have the possibility of a Shomer Shabbos residency in a field that's fine for me that I like, and that I'll be able to do productive stuff, but it's not the love of my life in terms of medicine. It's not the field that I was dying to go into. And then there's another field which I could get into, and is really where I really see myself being excited and stimulated and having a really happy and professional life, but it'll involve, at least in residency, maybe throughout, having to be on Shabbat and saving lives, but saving lives because I'll have to make myself available for the savings of lives. So all of that questions, I think, are important, hard questions that Russia doesn't quite deal with, but they come up in under this rubric of, let's remember that the Rambam holds, Shabbat is dichuya, that Shabbat is pushed aside. It's not actually it's pushed aside. It's not actually hutra. It's not actually rendered permissible. Now, all of that was introduction to the real question. The question the guy had asked, it seems like, is what do you do about saving non-Jewish lives on Shabbat? Because if you look at the Gemara, in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Chavav Amud Aleph, Abaye says, we don't have to save Jewish lives on Shabbat. And Abaye gives this interesting claim. His claim is, we can say to the non-Jews, Didan de mintri Shabbata michalalinan alayhu, Didhud lo mintri Shabbata lo michalalinan. That Abaye seems to think that we could say, and the answer that Abaye gives is, we could say to the non-Jews, listen, we save people who keep Shabbat on Shabbat, meaning we're only allowed to violate Shabbat for Sabbath observers. Now, I have to say, when I read that sentence, I can understand what Abaye means, and I can even sort of understand living in a world where other people could understand what it means as well. And meaning that I could say, well, God commanded us to refrain from things on this day, but and for the sake of people who are going to keep Shabbat in the future, or are able to keep Shabbat, or are part of keeping Shabbat, that's where we push Shabbat aside. But Shabbat is so important, it doesn't get pushed aside other than for Sabbath observers. I can understand it, but certainly today, this Rav Moshe Feinstein's fundamental point is, today there's no way you can say that to people, to non-Jews, and that they would accept it as a reasonable answer. He doesn't say the word insane, but it's kind of insane, right? Because why would they accept that? It means that we value Jewish lives more than non-Jewish lives. So the thing to think about, to me, that Rav Moshe doesn't get into a lot, is that Abaye seems to have thought that in his time, non-Jews would accept that answer. That's a strange thing to think about, but that's where Rav Moshe takes it. In Abaye's time, they would have accepted the answer, and that's why it's the answer that Abaye gives. In our time, since they won't accept the answer, so we're not going to invoke that answer. We're not going to do it. It wouldn't be true of the people who are ill, right? Imagine a doctor walking into a patient comes to a doctor, says, "Doctor, I need your help." And he says, "Listen, I'm very sorry, but you're not a Sabbath observer because you're a non-Jew and I can't help you." Imagine if you did it to, non-Sabbath observant Jews and I can't help you. So anyway, imagine that you said it to a non-Jew. So the ill people wouldn't accept it. Their relatives wouldn't accept it. The government would accept it. And the hospitals wouldn't accept it, right? So it's not only that they wouldn't accept it, right? And when there's not another doctor, they wouldn't accept it even when there is another doctor, right? Let's say, they wouldn't accept it when there's, in general, right? So you said that, certainly you can imagine doctors losing their hospital privileges, and then they wouldn't be able to be doctors. You can imagine that if there's no other doctor around and you say it, then they would treat you like a murderer, because they'd say, listen, from the fact that he refused to treat him, this person died, this person had serious complications, and they would punish him for that. And therefore, in terms of functioning in hospitals, right? So in hospitals, there's lots and lots of doctors. Now that gets to the questions of assignments, because you can say there are lots and lots of doctors, but if the assigning doctor says, well, you're on Shabbos, then there's not a lot of doctors because you're one of the doctors that's on, and they assign people by the load they expect, right? The load of patients they expect to come in over a Shabbos, so therefore you can't. So he says, more people want to be off on Sunday than want to be off on Shabbat, on Saturday. And therefore, if the observant doctor says, I want to trade all my Saturday calls, all my Saturday ons for Sundays, he thinks that observant Jews should be able to do that. Now, today, I think it's more complicated. I think there are a lot of people who are able to do that. I think there are some Shomer Shabbos residencies that let people do that ahead of time. And then he says there are some people who can't do it ahead of time, but once they're in, they can start to. We'll get to that in a second. So he says he knows many observant Jews who have done that. And then he says, and first of all, that's for switching. You could switch it. Certainly, you could switch it with a non-Jew, right? To switch a Saturday for a Sunday with a non-Jew is easy, and there's no halakha complications to that. But even with non-observant Jews, he thinks there's a way that you can do it. But then the way you easily can do it, and you clearly can do it, he says, is that the Shomer Torah, the observant Jew, should go to the guy who arranges the call, right? You don't go to the non-observant Jew and say, can I switch with you? That is more complicated, because then you're fundamentally asking a non-observant Jew to violate Shabbat for you. He's going to be on call. He's going to be in the hospital. He's going to violate the Torah for you. So that's more of an issue. But if you go instead to the person who's setting the appointment calendar, and you say, listen, I want to always be on Sunday, so that would be like saying, I want a Shomer Shabbos residency. Even if you didn't do it beforehand, you can do it after the fact and say, as many Sundays as you can switch for me. Whenever I have Saturdays, please give me Sundays. And very often they'll be willing to do it. And even if that person assigns will sometimes be a non-observant Jew rather than a non-Jew, so it's okay because you're not the one doing it. Not only that, he says, even if it ends up being, so let's say there are two observant Jews, they're both Shomri Shabbat, but one has not is not aware of or does not share, right? He might have gone to a different posek, does not share the qualms about serving on Shabbat, right? Let's say he got a psak that said, well, serving on Shabbat is pikuach nefesh, and you're allowed to put yourself in the position of pikuach nefesh, even if you wouldn't have had to be there, but you're allowed to put yourself in the position. Let's say that's what they say, and they understand dechuya in a different way for whatever it's worth. So if you had such people, then Rav Moshe Feinstein says he thinks that's true. He thinks that I can go to the, if I'm the observant doctor, I can go to the assigning doctor and ask him to reassign the calls, even if that means another observant Jew will have to take a Shabbos call, because Rosh Hashanah says it's only what's called the lifnei de lifnei, meaning in halacha, I'm not allowed to put another Jew into a position they're going to violate the Torah. That's called, I'm not really allowed to put another person into a position where they're going to violate what's obligatory to them. That's called lifnei iver lo titein michshol, before a person who's blind, meaning they don't realize their obligations, right? Or they don't realize that I'm having them sin, I'm not allowed to be the cause of their sinning or doing the wrong thing. That's called lifnei. But lifnei de lifnei, a two-step process, that's not halakhically assumed to be obligatory upon me. So here, it's a two-step process because I'm going to the observant Jewish doctor, I'm going to the assigning doctor and saying, please assign me Sunday. Now, the fact that it ends up that his assigning me Sunday puts another observant Jew in the Shabbos position, that's that Jew's problem. And all I've done is I put, it's a two-step process, therefore I'm allowed to do it. What would that other Jew do? That's been another Jew. He may also be a follower of Moshe Feinstein's Psakim, and then he'll have to do whatever he'll have to do to get out of his Shabbos call or his Shabbos responsibilities, or he may have a different Psak, whatever it is. Especially since when I go to the assigning person, they're non-Jews, right? So it could be that there's going to be that he can assign all the Jews Sundays and the non-Jews the Saturdays, and it could happen that way. Or even if it ends up they put in Jews. So even if it's going to be non-observant Jews, right? Rosh Hashanah says he thinks there's room to do that too. And more directly, meaning, let's say I get my call sheet. I go to the guy ahead of time and I say, listen, I want to Shabbos residency. He says, we don't have Shabbos residency. I say, okay, can you do me a favor? And can you assign me Shabbos, assign me Sunday every time there's a Shabbos? He says, I can try, but something will happen. So then I get assigned the Shabbos call. And now I'm going to go around, as happens, and I'm going to try to trade it. Right? So when I'm trying to trade it with people, who can I trade it with? So there, it's harder to say I could trade it with an observant Jew. I could trade it with a non-Jew for sure, because it doesn't matter to them. All the days are the same, or fungible to them. But what happens if it's a non-observant Jew who's going to get signed up for this, or I'm going to trade it with a non-observant Jew? There, Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks you can do. There's a reason to say you can do it anyway, and this reason I think is very clever, very interesting that I'd never thought until I came to this tshuva, which is that when a non-Jew, the non-observant Jew, is at home on a Shabbat, so what are they going to be doing? They'll be doing whatever they usually do, which involves lots of Shabbat violations, and many of those Shabbat violations, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, are at a d'oraita level, are biblical violations. But when they're in the hospital, working on a Shabbat, very often they'll do a lot less Shabbat violation, actually. Why would they do a lot less violation, actually? Because, first of all, many of the things in a hospital that one does in the course of performing medical care are not d'oraita problems, they're d'rabbanan problems, they're rabbinic problems. That's a lower level of prohibition than a Torah prohibition. And since it's a lower level of prohibition, it's better. Meaning, to some extent, let's say you said to me, listen, by working it out that this non-observant Jew goes to the hospital on Shabbat to work as a doctor on Shabbat and says staying at home, instead of him violating the Torah with, 17 biblical obligations, he'll violate the Torah with 17 rabbinic obligations. Which by saying that's a trade that's kind of worth our while to make because he's violating the Torah less. But more than that, he says, it's also true that many of the patients that he encounters, not all perhaps, many of the cases he encounters, they are going to be cases where he's saving lives. So if he's saving lives, then it's permissible what he's doing. And there are situations where he's not saving a life, but it's permissible to violate the Rabbanans to save somebody. So in all those situations, it's better. So Moshe Feinstein says the truth is putting the doctor, the non-observant doctor, into the hospital on Shabbat might be better for him and for the cause of Torah observance than leaving him at home. So he thinks there's room to say that as well. So all of that is in terms of trying to arrange it that you're not there. But let's suppose it ends up that you have to be in the hospital on a Shabbat, or you're already an established doctor and your office is closed, but you get a call and you have to deal with somebody, and let's say it's a non-Jew and it's a life-threatening situation, so therefore Rav Moshe Feinstein says you have to violate Shabbat, even at a Torah level. This goes back to what he said before, that you can't give him this answer of, well, we only save Sabbath-observant people. And he says, it's also true, let's say, forget it's not a patient of yours, but let's say there's some accident near the doctor's house. People know that this doctor is the doctor. He has to run out and help out as well, because in our situation, our circumstances in America and in most countries in the world, you would never say that people would accept this idea, well, I don't save people on Shabbat. If it comes, you can say you can get a day off on Shabbat, but if it comes your way, you have to do it. Not only that, he says, again, he says the relatives, the government, everybody will hate us for it, and there's a problem of Eva. So you might think, well, just because there's a problem of Eva, that people will hate us, should that be Matir Odo, right? Should that be Matir, a biblical prohibition of violating Shabbat? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, yeah, he thinks that Eva counts as a Sakana Gdola, as a great danger, a grave danger. Is there any other kind? As a grave danger to the Jewish people. Even if it's a country where they deal with us very nicely and they let us keep the Torah and all those kinds of things, but you confront them with this idea that we are discriminatory in the sense that we heal Jews on Shabbat, not non-Jews, so that would already be a huge issue. We can't even let the possibility come up in people's minds that we think that way about it. And he notes that the Mishnah Berurah seems to have taken it differently. The Mishnah Berurah, it says in Shin Lamed, paragraph Chet, that he doesn't understand. He says all these doctors who will travel far distances, which is prohibited on Shabbat, and do it to heal non-Jews, and they'll also, in those days, they used to grind their own medications. They'll grind their own medications to do on Shabbat. He says they're just violating Shabbat completely, and they're doing it on purpose because they know that it's a violation of Shabbat. They're doing it anyway. Keith said that counts as a Shabbos violation, a deliberate Shabbos violation. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, I don't understand what he's talking about, because it's clear that in Russia, especially in Russia, there were many times when a doctor was the only doctor for the whole area. And if he was the only doctor for the whole area, then if he didn't go, it was clear that they would kill the Jews. They would kill him and they would kill other Jews. And therefore, it's clear to him, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that this worry of Eva certainly qualifies to say that this doctor should be performing medicine in any situation where he's the necessary doctor of the situation. He has to perform the medicine to the best of his abilities in terms of saving lives, whether they're Jewish or not Jewish. Then he mentioned that Divrei Chaim, who was the first Sanzer Rebbe, had also raised this issue, and he was bothered, or he thought it was odd, because he knew of places where there were other doctors around, and yet the Jewish doctors were still, the observant Jewish doctors were still, fully involved in medical care on Shabbat. He wasn't sure why that was true. He thought he should say that if there are other doctors around, they should, withdraw from the field. So Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that Divrei Chaim says, you might be that we're worried that if we tell that to the doctors in big cities where there are plenty of doctors around, they'll make a mistake and they'll think that it's true even where there aren't doctors around, and then you get all sorts of problems. Maybe that's good enough also to allow a leniency and let them do it. That was what Divrei Chaim suggested. In any case, in all the situations you see that there's not an issue for this. And then Rav Moshe Feinstein says also, by the way, when the newspapers get hold of things, as they do these days with the internet even more so, then even if you're in a place where there are but there's nobody around, they won't know what you do, and there are other doctors around, but they get the word out that you say, I think that I don't want to heal non-Jews on Shabbat, the word will get out, and that will cause problems for Jews in other parts of the world. And therefore, he thinks that there is no reason to do this, and therefore you shouldn't do this at all, and we should heal non-Jews just as much as Jews. So, that is a responsible day for this day of the 17th of Adar. Rav Moshe Feinstein talking about what doctors do and how they handle it. He thinks that the Rambam saying Dechuya Shabbat, that Shabbat is only pushed aside rather than being a hutra, rather than being completely permitted, he thinks that means that doctors should do what they can ahead of time to try to avoid having to violate Shabbat, and that includes doing their best not to be on duty, not to be on call on Shabbat, not to be having to do any medicine on Shabbat, and if the situation arises, they have to do it. Then they have to do it for Jews or non-Jews equally, for the various reasons that we've discussed. But if they can set up their appointments and calendars such that their call is always on Sunday as opposed to Shabbat, with all the ramifications that has for their private lives, Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that you have to do that. That is what he has to say. I think there are other opinions on these issues, and they're complex issues. Just to point out some of the complex issues that come up, in his, if he was right, then it would seem to me that he might argue that a doctor should live, to the extent that it's at all possible, should live within walking distance of the hospital where he is sometimes on call, because that way he can avoid having to violate Shabbat. And that way, if something comes up, right, if an emergency comes up, he has to get into the hospital, he could run or walk or whatever. I don't think we tend to do that. Another issue is we have a concept in halacha of that we allow, in, this is a tchum Shabbos idea, that if doctors or medical personnel have to go outside of tchum on Shabbat, they have to go outside of their boundaries of Shabbat, such that theoretically, had they done it on purpose for other reasons, they wouldn't be allowed to return home. We say they're allowed to return because we're worried that if we don't let them return, they won't go out in the future. So here too, that concept should theoretically come up as, so that idea, how does that apply or not apply to medical personnel, that people would not say, well, I'm not going to go into medicine if, as a firm doctor, I can't be with my family, you know, any Sundays for that 8 years of medical training, whatever it is. I think that's an issue that I can imagine a post-sake raising as well. So these are some of the issues that come up. A responsive day for the 17th of Adar, doctors and Shabbat. Have a great day.